and sat there just before service, and I don't know. Over in Luke chapter 15, the Bible tells the story of the song that we just sung, that story of the prodigal son. And you know, we are just like that old prodigal son. Amen. We have everything we need in Jesus. Amen. We're so loved and we're so cared for. We're so spoilt, and yet many times we wander away. Man had everything he needed all the way back in the garden. Amen. And nothing did he want and nothing did he lack for. And God put one prohibition upon him. And yet he wasn't satisfied. He had to go searching. He had to go looking. And he had to go his own way. And he hurt that relationship that he had with the Father. But praise God, the Father never stopped loving. Amen. Amen. The Father never stopped caring. While he was in the Father's house and while he was in the Father's care, he had everything that he could have ever desired, anything that he could have wanted. Yet something caught his eye. Something got a hold of his desire. And something caused him to want to leave what he had that was so precious. Does this story sound familiar? Hey, man, that doesn't sound like anybody you might know. I know it sounds like me so many times. Amen. I have everything I need. I'm so satisfied in Jesus, but it seems like the world comes along and the world says, well, you need more, and you want to leave what the Father has given you, and you want to leave what the Father has provided for you. You want to leave the Father's love and go outside of His will and outside of His care and find out what you can get for yourself. And He lets you do it. Amen. You see, the thing about a parent's love is you got to be willing to love them enough to let them go. And it's hard. Can you imagine when the old prodigal son came to his daddy and said, I want mine inheritance. You know, it was an inheritance. It's what you get after they die. It's what gets left to you. But he didn't even want to wait for his dad to die. His dad loved him, provided for him, had made provision for him, but yet he didn't want to wait. He had lost track and he had lost sight of what love truly was. Amen? And he left the Father's house. He left the Father's love. And he left with the Father's blessing. Doesn't say he blessed him, but it says that he bestowed upon him. He divided unto them as living. As you read back through the Bible, and I think probably the story of Esau and Jacob and Isaac is a great picture of the Father bestowing upon his children their inheritance and giving his blessing. I believe if you look over in later in Genesis and you see Jacob as he begins to say his final words to his children, and he gives them his blessing and tells them what shall become. I believe it's evident that no doubt when this boy left, it tore his daddy's heart apart. But he left with his Father's blessing. He left with his Father's desire for him to succeed. Jesus said, do your children ask you for bread and you give them a serpent? He said, we want the best. We want the best for our children. As parents, we want to see them succeed, see them get along, see them prosper. And we got to let them go. And it's hard to let them go. Because, you know, they're so young and they're so unlearned and in many ways they're so foolish, but yet we got to let go and let them go and do what they can do, and we can give a blessing upon them. We can pray for them, but we can't make the choices that they need to make for themselves and their lives. The Father's love. So tremendous. The Father's love so great that he was willing to let his son make his own decision. There in Luke chapter 15 it says, and a certain man had two sons in verse 11. Verse 12, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. You see, sometimes we get a misconception of what love is all about. Amen? We miss the picture of love that God has for us. We miss the picture of love that a parent has for their child. And we miss out on what God wants to do. God has a design and a plan for our lives. And he keeps us in safety. And he wants us to prosper. And it don't mean that we're going to be rich. But he wants us to be blessed in our lives. That doesn't mean that we have possessions. He wants us to be and to know to what it is to be satisfied. The Apostle Paul said in everything that he had been through, he had learned how to be content, and he had learned how to find satisfaction, and in fact he had nothing, and he depended on everyone else to support him in many of the things that he did when he was in prison, and yet he was satisfied because he knew the Father's love. But we look for other things. We begin to envy. And we begin to desire. And we think. And we get mistaken. And I don't know. Maybe it was in Sunday school this morning. We was talking about it. And I guess it was. We was talking about teenagers. And teenagers, let me explain something to you. Young people, let me speak to you for just a moment. Just because you get a warm and fuzzy feeling, don't think it's all about love. Amen. Most of the time, it's not. Most of the time, it's about lust. Just being truthful with you. It takes some time to understand love. Love can be there. Love can be evident. But love's something that has to grow into people's lives. The prodigal son, he got out and he started to spend his money. He started having a big old time and wasting his substance and riotous living. He misunderstood what love was all about. He got wrapped up in the lust of the world. The people that hung up with him didn't love him, but he thought they did. Because he had money. And he was living a life of riotous living. And everybody thought, well, hey, let's go hang out with him. This is the cat that's got the money. This is the cat that's got the good time. This is the cat, my lands. I used to joke about my daughter. She dated a Firebird. She dated a Mustang. She's back here. I used to tease her, amen. I said, are you sure you like them boys? Or are you just dating them for the cars, amen? One of them had a Firebird. One of them had a Mustang. What the other one? I used to tease her about it every time they come that it was the car and it wasn't the boy because I was looking at the car. Amen. What kind of car is this clown driving? Amen. And I used to tell her, I said, which one are you going out with tonight? The Firebird or the Mustang? Amen. But sometimes we got to be careful because we get our eyes and we get our perception on the wrong thing. Amen. And in riotous living. Amen. People look at what you have, and they don't want you for you. They want you for what you have. Sometimes people don't want to hang out with you because they care about you. They hang out around you and want to hang out with you for what they can get from you. Amen. There's a great big difference between love and lust. Amen. And the prodigal son, he had left a house of love and found himself in a place where no doubt he was surrounded by people that wanted to be with him because they were lusting after what he could give them. They lusted after the good time. They lusted after the party. They lusted after the fast life that they were living. But then one day all the money was gone. And he found out how bankrupt he truly was. You see, you can have nothing in this world and be loved and have everything you need. Now, I'm not preaching one of those Pentecostal health wealth, and if you're expecting that, you might as well get up and leave because you're going to be disappointed. Amen. But I'm telling you, when you have the Father's love, you have the Father's provision, when you have the Father's desire upon your life, when you have the Father's goodwill towards you, you're richer than the richest man in this world. Amen. The prodigal son found that out. He left that place where he was content. He left that place where he was provided for. He left that place where someone cared about him. And he thought that he'd found love. He thought that he'd found what he needed down in that foreign land. And as soon as his money was gone, he found out that he was bankrupt. And he found out that he had no friends. If he had anybody there that loved him, they would have took care of him. They would have seen to him. But nobody in that place cared enough to give him a crumb off their table. You see, that's just the way the devil works. The devil will convince you that you don't need to stay in church. Young people, the devil will convince you that your parents are the stupidest people in the world. Well, they're so dumb, they're so old-fashioned. You don't need to listen to them. Christian, the devil will convince you that you can do it all on your own. You don't need that church. You don't need anybody. You don't need anything. You got everything that you need. And the devil will leave you bankrupt. Amen. Because when he can separate you from the Father, when he can come between you and the Father, you stop seeing the Father for who he is. Amen. And you start seeing the devil as all you need. And when the devil becomes all you need, you find out that you're never satisfied. You're never filled. You're always hungering. You're always lacking. It took some time for the old prodigal son. He got down there, he wasted everything he had. He got down there, he began to hunger and he began to want. He got down there and he realized how bankrupt he really was. Not just bankrupt financially, not just bankrupt physically, but he found out and he realized that he was totally bankrupt even spiritually because there was no hope where he was. He was eating with the hogs. That ain't a pretty sight, is it, Elena? She comes over and watches the pigs eat sometimes with the pawpaw. He was down there with the hogs and he had to eat what the hogs were eating. Now, you need to get a picture of this. This is a Jewish kid. That one of the greatest abominations one of the greatest unclean animals to the Jew was the swine, was the hog. And now here's this young Jewish man had done left the father's house, and he was dining with the swine, dining with the hogs. You know, that's just where we are when we leave Jesus. Amen. We might make it on our own for a while, but pretty soon we're dining with the hogs. Pretty soon we're dining with the swine. I don't know how long he was there. I don't know how long that he fed among the pigs and wallowed in their mess. And you know, up at the butcher shop, we went and picked the pigs up yesterday, and I was reading a sign up there, and they said, wrestling with the boss, or arguing with the boss is kind of like wrestling with the pig. You both get dirty, but pretty soon you realize that the hog enjoys it. Amen? Amen? And that's kind of the way it is. You know, you can get out in the world and you can argue and you can wrestle and you can tussle around with the hog and you can wrestle with the hogs. They like it, but you never will. They are used to it, and you might contend with it. You might put up with it, but you'll never want to live like that. You might live like that, but you won't want to live like that. He was living like that. Amen. But he didn't want to live like that. He was living like that. But he wished he didn't have to live like that. He was living like that, and for how long, I don't know, but he eventually came to the realization that when he was at his father's house, he remembered the servants that were there, those that took care of him, and those that took care of his father, and those that took care of his brother and his family, and he began to remember the things that happened at the father's house, and he said, look, even back at dad's house, the servants are better off than I am, because I'm a dwelling with the pigs. I'm going to go back home. Why do you think he knew he could go back home? I believe he knew that his father loved him. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a certain citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Do you realize that boy, when he got down there, no matter how long he was there, I don't know, but one day he came to the realization, there is some place where I am loved. There is somebody who still cares about me. There is something better than what I found out here, and I'm going to go home to the Father. I would rather be a servant in the Father's house. You know, sometimes people get their feelings hurt in church. I ain't going back there no more. The preacher didn't shake my hand. The preacher's wife, well, she was so stuck up, she wouldn't even talk to me. The deacon and his wife, my land, you ain't never seen nobody like them deacons and their wives. They think they're better than anybody, they're more holy than anybody in the whole church. And you know what that is? That's just the devil. Amen. That's just the devil telling you, come on out here. I got something better for you out here. Come on out here. You get out there and he takes you down to the hog pen. Amen. He takes you down to, you get so low that you don't think you can get any lower. Amen. And then you begin to remember how good it was when you was in the house of God. Remember, old preacher wasn't quite that bad after all. That preacher's wife, man, she is a pretty sweet woman. Them deacons, man, they're really some good examples. And you begin to reflect on how good it was. Psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the ungodly. Why? Because he knew how sweet it was to be at the Father's house. He knew how sweet it was to get to go home and to worship with the Father. And the Bible said when he was yet a great way off. Why do you think it was when he was a great way off? Because I think his father loved him so much. He was longing for the day that he would come back home. His father loved him so much and was worried so much about him. When he heard there was a famine in that foreign land, that he hoped someday his son would come back home and he would get to see his son again. Do you remember how Jacob rejoiced when he found out that Joseph was alive? And when he got to see him and they fell apart upon one another and they kissed one another because the love of the father never diminished, even though they told him that his child was dead. Father said, my son that was dead has now come back. Father was a longing because he loved him. Jacob never ceased to love Joseph, even though he thought Joseph was gone. How much more do you think he loved his children that done those things that were wrong? And it just grieved his heart that he would lose any one of them. When they came back and told they had to leave one in Egypt, his heart was broken because everyone was special. Everyone was loved. And I believe when anyone was missing, he was a-looking. When anyone was a-missing, he cared. Sometimes we think that nobody cares about us. Sometimes we, in church, get on our pity parties. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Let me tell you what. God always loves you. Jesus always loves you. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If he loved us then, don't you think he loves us now? If he loved you enough to forgive you of your sins and to save your old wretched soul, don't you think he loves you enough that when you sin and when you backslide, he desires for you to come back home, and he's awaiting for you to come and to repent. He's waiting for you to make things right. He wants you to know the Father's love. And when he came back, he didn't get beat down. He didn't get lectured down. He didn't get ridiculed. The Bible says, and when the Father saw him a great way off, praise God, that he ran and he fell upon him, amen, and on his neck, and he kissed him. Why? Because he never stopped loving him. I'm thankful that God never stops loving me. Y'all might quit loving me one day and tell me to hit the road, but God never stops loving me. I don't know that it would ever happen, but it has happened. My wife stopped loving me and told me to hit the road. I don't foresee it happening, but just saying that it could. That old fella I worked with some years ago, him and his wife went through a bitter divorce in their late 50s. And he would never retire, just so she could never draw on his pension. And I think old Gatcha was 75 years old when he finally retired, and he never drew his first retirement check. He died and didn't know he was sick, but spite kept him, the bitterness kept him there. And he died. And his wife eventually got to collect on his retirement. But he died never getting to enjoy 1 month's pay from what he had worked 40-some years for, from bitterness. It does happen. I don't foresee it happening. I mean, we're stuck like glue. I mean, so don't think there's anything, you know, you ain't planning on. All right. Don't want to lie to anybody here, you know. But it could happen. Kids get mad at their parents. Grandkids get mad at their children. We get mad at one another. Friends that are your friends today over something so stupid wouldn't spit down your throat if your guts was on fire tomorrow. That's a crude way of saying it, but it just puts it where it is. It's the reality of it. They wouldn't go out of their way to do one thing to help you. But God's love never fails. God's love never ceases. God never stopped loving any soul that finds themselves in a devil's hell. Because the love of God is a love that is beyond description, a love that can't be described. And I believe Jesus used that picture of a father's love. No matter how bad our children hurt us, we still love them. No matter where they go, where they find, no matter how slimy a pit they're in, we still love them. I know families who got kids that are strung out on drugs, and they can't even let their kids in their house. They don't want their kids around. They can't even leave home for fear of their kids coming and breaking back in their house and stealing everything they have, everything that they hadn't already stolen, took out. I know some of them, the kids have taken everything, have just about bankrupted them. But the parents keep loving them because they're their child. That's the love that God has for us. A love that's unceasing. And he's always looking. He's always waiting. I like that song Sister Sherry sung tonight. Hey, man, the choice is ours. Hey, man, the choice is ours. And we have that yes or no that we can decide upon. It's just like the message this morning. The choice is ours. There's an if there for us to make that choice. And he says, and he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Son come back broken. The son come back broke. The son come back in as low a state as a man could be. And said, Father, just make me as one of your servants. Just make me a servant. Just let me be as one of your servants here at the house. I know I'll have enough to eat, and I'll have enough to suffice me. But the father's love says, no. No. Don't need no more servants. Don't need no more servants in the house. No, we don't want to go there. But it says, bring the best robe. Put shoes on his feet. Put the ring upon his finger. You know what the father's love says? This is my son. I want a robe upon him that when he walks out, everybody knows he's my child. You know what the father's love says? Put shoes on his feet. When he walks out, I want people to know that he's not a servant, that he's a son. See, the servant didn't have shoes on his feet, but the son did. I want everybody to know that he's somebody. I don't want everybody just to know that he belongs to a family. I don't want everybody to know that he's somebody's son and he's somebody special. He said, put the ring on his finger. He said, I want everybody to know that he's my son. You see, the love of the Father says that when we come home, the love of the Father says when we come back, the love of the Father says when we say that we've done wrong and we are seeking forgiveness, that he doesn't restore us to the place of a servant. He brings us back to the place of the Son, and he says, I'm not ashamed to say he's my child. I'm glad we have a God. That we have more than a God. We have a Heavenly Father. And we have more than just a father. We have a loving father. An endeared father. One that the apostle says we don't just call him dad. We don't just call him a father. But we call him Abba, Father. Daddy, he's special. Daddy, he's precious. Daddy, because he loves us. Daddy, because he cares for us. Daddy, because he provides for us. Oh, the prodigal son went home. The prodigal son found out what love was all about. I don't know why God changed my heart and my mind tonight. But I think the story of the prodigal son is one of the greatest love stories the Bible has to tell. It reminds us that no matter where we are and what we've done, God loves us. It reminds us that no matter how far we stray, that he's always waiting for us to come back. He don't give up hope. He don't stop caring. He don't stop looking. I don't know who this message was for tonight. Maybe it's you. Maybe there's some rebellion in your heart. Maybe there's some lust and you're looking into the foreign land. Maybe there's just something that you're going through that you just need to be reminded. You know, sometimes the devil comes on long, and I like that song, it's Under the Blood. Amen. He said the devil come along and reminded him of things that he used to do. Amen. The devil come along to discourage him. The devil came along to tear him down and to destroy him. But he was reminded that it's all under the blood. Think you could play that tonight, Beck? Get the book. We're going to sing It's Under the Blood tonight. If you got something that needs to be put under the blood, why don't you come?